I'm speaking with Mayor Leitzel. He's running for re-election for the mayoral race in the primary in May. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
So why do you deserve a second term as mayor?
Well, it's not a case of whether I deserve it. It's the fact that thousands of people have asked me to do it. I always tell people I didn't do this the first time because it was about me. It was about I was angry. I was frustrated. And I saw my city stagnating. And I felt that if I didn't stand up and at least make an effort to change the way they think at City Hall, then I couldn't guarantee someone else would do it. So I did it. I think people are happy with the direction we're moving in. And a lot of people were asking me if I was going to run again. And I would ask them how they felt because I've always said that this wasn't something that I absolutely had to do. I've got a pretty busy life and things I can do on other things. And they were all unequivocally said, yes, we want you to run again. So I threw my hat in the ring and said, I'll do it again. But I've also made it very clear that I will limit my budget.
Limit your budget to what?
$10,000.
For the campaign?
For the entire campaign. The first time round, I spent $17,600 against something like $160,000 that was spent against me. And after last year's presidential election where we just saw outrageous spending by both sides, I think I believe I represent about 80% of the population and can say that we're tired of that. And I'm willing to lay down a budget line that says, you know, the job pays $45,000 a year. Now, I've always said you shouldn't have to pay more than 1 year's salary to get elected. But just to prove my point, I'm willing to limit that to a quarter of my salary, which is still a little bit more than half of what I spent the first time. And I challenged the other candidates to do the same, and of course they've declined. But three of us who are independent candidates are willing to do it. David Israeli and David Greer are running for city commission. And we've come together to prove this point that I believe the time has come where money needs to come out of politics, and we're willing here in Dayton, Ohio, to prove a point. If we win, it's going to send a message to the entire country that it can be done.
What issue is most important to you when it comes to the problems facing the city, and what do you plan on doing about it?
Well, the two biggest issues that come up again are it's always going to be jobs and our neighborhoods. And I can tell you this, you know, I was president of my neighborhood association. I was the chair of the Southeast Priority Board before I came mayor. And those neighborhoods that have neighborhood associations fare much better than those that have none. And I think if we want a long-term solution to saving our neighborhoods, we have to get any neighborhood that doesn't have a neighborhood association organized to create one, even if it's just a group of block clubs. People who care, people who are responsible for where they live, and it kind of radiates out, and all of a sudden a neighborhood association is formed and people start coming together and taking care of some of the problems. But you know, we have 65 neighborhoods in the city of Dayton, and at least a third of them are exceptional. You know, people kind of blanket Dayton as a bad place, but we have some very, very beautiful neighborhoods. However, we have a handful that are fairly blighted. And those neighborhoods that are blighted have not had neighborhood associations probably in 15, 20 years.
So neighborhood associations being the number one thing to help neighborhoods
right.
Revitalize.
Well, I mean, we're doing several things. I mean, we have a demolition program. We have Moving Ohio Forward money that will help take care of some of the blighted structures and some of the burned out structures that need to come down. We've got some renovation programs to stabilize neighborhoods. But the reality is it's people taking responsibility that's going to solve a lot of our problems. We have a REIT program where you can acquire a property if it's vacant and more than 2 years in arrears in taxes, you can acquire a property for less than $2,000. But that takes 18 months to get that to happen. And I've actually got four applications in. Two have bounced back because there are issues. You know, one house had a federal lien. The other one the city ended up demolishing. They didn't tell me it was on the demolishing list, and they ended up demolishing it. And I don't need the vacant lot. I was actually looking at rehabbing the house. And it's on my block. It's just educating people that these plans exist, and it's inspiring people to step up and take responsibility instead of waiting for government to solve the problems, because it's still going to take years and years and years. I always joke, you know, government moves at the speed of sludge. I mean, and so we have to somehow get it to – and it will never move at the speed of business. But if we can get it to move a little faster by forcing it along through creative means, then we should try.
What about bringing jobs to downtown and bringing business to downtown? What's the biggest challenge that Dayton has?
Well, people on the street, and we're working on that. And there was no silver bullet solution, but if we had more entertainment, more people would come out of the offices, and then business people would see more people on the street, and they would open more businesses, which would attract more people. More housing options, and we're working on that. I mean, we're increasing the housing options because we realize that 95% to 98% of our residential units are occupied, yet only 70% of our office space is occupied. So if we can convert some of the office space into residential and put more feet on the street, then you'll have more people wandering around after 6 o'clock at night, which means that businesses will see that we're more of an active city, and they'll say, "Well, I want to open a retail business or a restaurant." And we've got more restaurants coming in. We've got coffee shops, and they're all privately owned. There's not a single one downtown that says Starbucks on it. And so people are taking a chance. Businesses are moving into downtown. They're looking at it as a viable place because we've changed the image of Dayton. We're no longer a dying city. We're now considered one of the progressive cities with great opportunities. And it's just a matter of letting the world know that we think differently here. The Welcome Dayton plan helped. That got us international attention. But that's another solution. If we can attract people who are disenfranchised from other parts of the world, who come here legally as refugees or just as immigrants wanting to come to America, they are 2.5 times more likely to succeed at a small business than anybody born here. So if we and they're fixing up the properties. They're buying the houses and fixing them up. I can't get people from the suburbs of Centerville and Washington Township or Beaver Creek to buy a house in Dayton for $20,000, $30,000 and fix it up, but we can certainly get these disenfranchised people from around the world to come here and do that. And they'll live there for the rest of their lives. I mean, they'll settle and they'll live there and they'll create their own businesses. And 25 years from now, if their businesses are successful and they've run out of family members to employ, they'll be bringing in other citizens. But the reality is, if you want to increase your population, that's one way to do it. If you want to increase the number of jobs that pay income tax, which support services, that's another way of doing it. And I think, again, there's no silver bullet solution. But if we can do all of this at the same time, it'll change the dynamic.
What about crime in Dayton? What are you going to do to work to stop violence that's happening on the streets and robberies and things like that?
Well, I mean, we are working with that. We have the Community Initiative to Reduce Gun Violence going on, where we're trying to work with, group-related activity. I can't say gang because it's not always gang. Sometimes it's family stuff and whatever. But we're already working on that. But I like to remind people that back in the 1980s, we averaged 110 homicides a year. And I think last year we had less than 30. And in prior years to that, we averaged about 34 or something. So crime has come way down. And in the last couple of years, it's come down without huge numbers of police officers on the street. So the old paradigm of more police, less crime doesn't necessarily apply in this case. We are using technology to a large degree to help. And we are providing tools for the citizens to have access to information so that they can be more vigilant in their neighborhoods and police the crime. But the things that we are doing, we're looking more at technology and we're investing in that. And information, just getting information out. They put out bulletins now every week of the crime that happened, and we're putting out pictures, the mugshots of the people. So that when you're walking down the street, you can recognize people as being in your neighborhood. One of the other things I've asked, and we'll see if it happens, it would be really cool to use Facebook every week and put out like Dayton's Most Wanted every week. Here's the 5 people we're looking for this week. If you see them, please call this number. Just to let citizens know that that they can be part of this, and it's going to take a community effort with the police to solve a lot of these issues. But I want to assure people, crime is down. But that's a national trend too. It's down here in Dayton, and downtown is actually one of the safest neighborhoods.
So you have been criticized in the past for your approach to the mayoral role, for example, working part-time or taking time off to do some home repairs, mm-hmm. for things like that. What do you say to critics of your view of the role of the mayor?
Well, the job is part-time, okay? It's in the charter as a part-time job. We're basically supposed to be a board of directors of nonpartisan citizens who oversee a strong city manager form of government. And the manager has the access to the entire resources of the city at his fingertips. We don't. I work about 36 to 40 hours a week part-time. I mean, no joke. I get up in the morning. The first 2 hours of every day, I'm dealing with emails, responses, and things like that. But I don't go to the office. I have a phone at home. I mean, I was self-employed before I did this. I mean, I don't need an office to go to be seen at, to have meetings. A lot of my meetings with citizens are at coffee shops, restaurants, or even there's a couple of taverns and stuff I'll frequent in the evenings and just say, meet me there and we'll talk. But what I have been told is I am the most accessible member of that entire city commission. If you contact my office on a Monday or Tuesday and request to have a meeting with me, it's very likely that by Thursday or Friday you're sitting in front of me. And the reason that happens is because I treat it as a part-time job, I leave big blocks of time open for that kind of stuff. Because I've got other things I can be doing or typing things, and I can do it anywhere. I have an iPad. I have a laptop computer. So when those people that come forward say, I never see you anywhere, I tell them I never see you anywhere either. And have you ever called my office to find out what my schedule is and where I'll be, which most people say no, they don't, because they don't realize that I'm accessible. The other thing too is, I use Facebook a lot, and people send me messages, and they'll tell me that they send me something on Facebook. I respond, and so that makes me accessible too. So I'm using the social media and modern technology to be accessible to citizens. And if they want to, if they call the office on the phone, it's unlikely they'll get me. And I don't have a cell phone. I will not carry a cell phone because the only people that want to get hold of me are the media, and I only want to talk about the good things that are happening. So. So that's pretty much what I'd say to the critics. I mean, you say I don't work full time. I say 40 hours part time's plenty. And if I take some time off to fix up my house, I'm doing a good thing in Dayton.
If you had to pick something that you could do as mayor to improve your next term, what would it be?
Well, there's a lot of things I've already done to improve this term, but I don't get up and I'm not in the media about it. I inspire people to be the best that they can be, and I think if I can continue doing that, you'll see a lot more change happening. I mean, we're going through a renaissance here in Dayton, and the renaissance has momentum, and it's kicking up because we've got 3 years worth of seed planting now coming to fruition, and I think a few more years of that. I mean, I'm going to run out of ideas eventually, or people will just be so busy they're not going to have more things to do. But I think I can get more involved. I mean, all this seed planting's been done, and these ideas are being carried out, and people are just taking charge of things on their own, which is what we needed. Maybe it's time that I can go into some of these neighborhoods and say, look, let's help you organize and show you the tools that are available. I mean, our priority boards have issues, and we're looking at changing the way we involve our citizen engagement strategies. So maybe it's time to go back to those boards and say, look, here's how you can morph into something new and unique that will benefit the city and change the way you do things. So I could probably spend more time doing that. I mean, the first term, someone said, I did very well for a no-name nobody from the neighborhood with no money, no support, and supposedly no experience. And so if the first term was spent basically proving myself, and a lot of people have come up to me and said, you've proven yourself, so now I can focus on doing less things and be more effective at doing it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
One thing that you did do when you first took office is you had created a leadership council to address some of the mm-hmm. city's economic issues. What's the status of that now?
Well, I sent them a letter early this year saying that since this is an election year and the majority of the people on that council had relationships with every single one of us that were running, I felt that it was best not to meet this year. So people's loyalties are going to be tested, and there's no point in having that be used as a tool to disrupt things, because people will use it as a political tool to say, a third of the people on the council probably support me, a third support one of the other candidates, and a third support the other one. And so why disrupt it? I just said basically, hey, I think this is a decision that I'm willing to make. Let's just not do anything, and we'll come back together next year.
What's your vision for what the city is going to look like in the next 5 years?
Well, I did this because I wanted a better city for my daughter, and you know, 5 years isn't long enough. If you look out 10 years, I think we'll be more of an international city as long as we can keep the momentum going up with this immigrant-friendly notion. We'll have more cultural diversity, more creativity, more innovation. I think if we can create a society where people are not afraid to try things, you'll see all kinds of innovative things happening. I think that with the increase of housing downtown, more options downtown, I mean, my wife and I and a friend of ours are creating this outdoor, have created it last year, an outdoor market. If we can create, if we can get that growing, and people have a destination for Saturdays to come down. I mean, we have to change. We just have to change the culture of a city, and we can't dwell on negative things over the last 40 years. We have to look at all the positive things, and the positives outweigh the negatives. And we just have to focus on it and change the dynamic. So I actually see a city, a more progressive city, maybe a small increase in population. I mean, I don't think we'll ever get back to the 250,000 people that we had back in the 60s. I don't think we're going to get back into the manufacturing element that we had back then. I mean, we have some manufacturing. We have high technology. We have jobs here in Dayton, but they're so specialized, we don't have the people to fill them. And I think that's something that we need to let the world know. We have these positions. Come, bring your innovative nature and your opportunistic style, and come to Dayton, and it's a place where you can try things and not be ostracized for it.
I've been speaking with Mayor Gary Lightsell. He's running for re-election. Thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.